Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. I think we have bad, good, and crazy martinis today. We'll let the listeners decide. It's so hard during this election season, and it's not getting any easier. Less than 24 hours before the polls officially open, not including absentee and early voting and all that good stuff. But, Jim, let's start with the big news of the weekend, and that is that FBI Director James Comey, if you thought he was a complete political hack a week ago, you probably think he's a great public servant. If you thought he was a great public servant a week ago, you probably think he's a total political hack, because it was a week ago Friday that Comey sent a letter to relevant committee chairman and ranking members saying, hey, we got more emails and we're going to be looking them over. Now, yesterday, a new letter went out to those same people. Quote, I write to supplement my October 28th, 2016 letter that notified you the FBI would be taking additional investigative steps with respect to former Secretary of State Clinton's use of a personal email server. Since my letter, the FBI investigative team has been working around the clock to process and review a large volume of emails from a device obtained in connection with an unrelated criminal investigation. During that process, we reviewed all of the communications that were to or from Hillary Clinton while she was Secretary of State. Based on our review, we have not changed our conclusions that we expressed in July with respect to Secretary Clinton. I am very grateful to the professionals at the FBI for doing an extraordinary amount of high-quality work in a short period of time. Unquote. The Clinton campaign, of course, is gratified that the conclusion has remained the same, and they were always confident that it would, at least in public. And Donald Trump, who last week was saying that Comey was courageous, now says once again that the entire system is rigged. So, Jim, you and I have said many times that there was more than enough evidence to suggest that Hillary Clinton, even back in July, had broken the law here, and Comey laid that out back in July and then decided not to recommend prosecution. I guess the only thing we know for sure is that whoever's elected, Jim Comey's probably not keeping his job.
You know, Greg, this is usually where I would insert the joke about James Comey waking up with a horse's head in his bed, recognizing that written in blood on his home walls is your name will be next on the Clinton Arkansas list or something like that. But, you know, look, you and I had very strong disagreements with his assessment from July. It's certainly by calling her you know, reckless and sloppy with classified information, but not recommending an indictment. It certainly looked like he wanted to split the baby. He wanted to kind of give her a slap in the wrist to say, no, 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 tisk, tisk, Mrs. Clinton, but not actually deal with the political firestorm that would occur if he had recommended an indictment of the Democratic nominee 2 weeks before the Democratic convention. I think his letter from about a week or two ago was completely justified and, in fact, necessary. I would just ask all listeners to imagine that he doesn't send that letter. And after the election, it comes out that, oh, by the way, the FBI found other emails that had not been covered, that had not been turned over as agreed, but they decided not to tell Congress and they decided not to tell the public. People would be screaming cover up, and I think they'd have a justifiable case. I think that he did the right thing yesterday. I mean, I think that, you know, you have a duty to inform the Congress, you have a duty to inform public, and then you have a duty to sort it out as best they could. You and I pointed out that this could be something very significant, or it could be not something terribly significant, and that appears to be, at least based on what the FBI has found so far, some of these emails were duplicates. The ones that were not duplicates were not anything of substance or relevant to the investigation of her emailing classified information or mishandling classified information. So I'm going to say good job, James Comey. I realize not a lot of people are going to say that or do that. It was interesting to see the response during the extraordinarily depressing football games yesterday, Greg. that really not that many Democrats who were like, okay, good job, Comey. They still hate the guy, and they still expect him to be tossed out on his Easter about 20 minutes after Hillary Clinton takes the oath.
Let's move on to the second martini. Some would find this good, some would find this bad when you talk about corruption, or perhaps the sullying of a reputation that needs to be. Back in January of 2012, Doug Band. We've learned earlier in this WikiLeaks dump that Doug Band is not a huge fan of Chelsea Clinton, and now he takes it to another level with a very interesting revelation. He's writing here to a number of people, including Cheryl Mills and obviously John Podesta. He says, quote, I just received a call from a close friend of WJC's, that's Bill Clinton, who said that CVC, that's Chelsea, told one of the Bush 43 kids that she is conducting an internal investigation of money within the foundation from the Clinton Global Initiative to the foundation. The Bush kid then told someone else who told an operative within the Republican Party. I've heard more and more chatter of CVC, Chelsea, and Barry, B-A-R-I, not sure who that is, talking about lots of what is going on internally to people. Not smart. Podesta's response, you are perfecting your skills for understatement. Then Doug Band, I learned from the best. The investigation into her getting paid for campaigning, using foundation resources for her wedding and life for a decade, taxes on money from her parents. I hope that you will speak to her and end this once we go down this road, .. So Doug Band has learned well from the intimidation game on the Clintons. But Jim, once again, maybe Hillary wins, maybe she doesn't, but the reputation of Chelsea is not coming out very well in these emails.
Long-time listeners know that Chelsea Clinton jumps on my last nerve and stomps on it time and time again. You know, I suppose I could say, oh, she's America's princess. Doesn't she deserve to have Clinton Foundation money used for her wedding? Look, we don't have a lot of specifics in this email. We know Doug Band can't stand Chelsea Clinton so much. He sounds like, well, me. but all in all, like, none of this seems all that surprising. And this is, you know, this should be really a serious concern. I keep seeing the Clinton Twitter feed of, oh, no, we're a top-notch charity. Oh, all of our spending checks out. Well, you know what? I don't think Chelsea Clinton's wedding is a charity, to say nothing of all the other implications that lots of her personal expenses have been covered by the foundation and things like that. This is one of the reasons for, like, you know, if you have a presidential foundation, it's not supposed to be touted as this world-saving, you know, we're helping poor starving farmers in Africa type institution, and yet having this little financial disclosure year by year. So nothing particularly shocking in it. I think this will be another major issue of investigation if Hillary Clinton wins the presidency, and I think it's deservedly so. One of the great kind of semi-perpetual open scandals of American life has been how you can run a nonprofit and make a really nifty profit, that you can live the life of the high and mighty and, you know, lifestyles of rich and famous while running institutions and collecting, you know, very high six-figure salaries and things like that. It is no longer scandalous to make a really good living running a, making air quotes, nonprofit. And, you know, I think that, that doesn't sit well with people, and I hope to see a major investigation of this no matter how the election comes out.
Yes, yes. Another major investigation as we go into the third martini needs to be expanded because allegedly there is one at CNN over the two Donna Brazile questions that she fed to the Clinton campaign, one for a town hall, one for a debate, one on the death penalty, one on Flint water. But now there's more courtesy of WikiLeaks. This is courtesy of the Washington Examiner. Newly released emails from WikiLeaks suggest that the Democratic National Committee colluded with CNN in devising questions in April to be asked of then-Republican primary candidate Donald Trump in an upcoming interview. In an email to DNC colleagues on April 25th with the headline Trump Questions for CNN, a DNC official with the email username dylan.l@dnc.org asked for ideas for an interview to be conducted by CNN anchor Wolf Blitzer. Quote, Wolf Blitzer is interviewing Trump on Tuesday ahead of his foreign policy address on Wednesday. Please send me thoughts by 10:30 a.m. tomorrow. The sender of the email would seem to be DNC Research Director Lauren Dillon, who was identified in previous reports of DNC emails released by WikiLeaks in July. Several hours after the first email was sent, Dillon said in a follow-up email that the interview had been canceled, quote, as of now, but shared a list of questions thought up by the DNC that she said could be used for the next interview. A separate email from Dillon that same day said CNN is looking for questions for then-GOP primary candidate Texas Senator Ted Cruz and maybe a couple on former Hewlett-Packard CEO Carly Fiorina. CNN and DNC did not immediately respond to a quest for comment. So, Jim, CNN has made little secret of the fact that most of their, even their news people, much less their commentary people, don't think very much of the Republican nominee or Republicans in general this cycle. But what they have to answer for as a result of WikiLeaks is pretty darn incriminating.
Yeah, if you've ever watched an interview on CNN and said, God, it sounds like these questions are coming straight from the DNC, maybe they were in light of what we know from these emails. Some of these you could kind of explain away when you'd say, oh, I want to read a quote back to you or something like that. But this is not normal. If I'm interviewing a Democrat, I don't usually call up the RNC and say, hey, what questions should I ask? Wait, if you're a good journalist, you should know what questions to ask. You don't need to run to the opposition researchers of the opposite party and say, hey, what dirt do you guys have that I can hit them with? And oh, by the way, like, this is perhaps not the most major issue here, but Greg, I found the suggestions for those questions pretty lame. If you're going to ask that question, hopefully the DNC would have really good questions to ask there. No, but you're not supposed to be kind of acting hand in hand in tandem with one of the parties here. This is another, you know, embarrassing moment for CNN. This is the sort of thing that's going to confirm everybody's worst suspicions about how these major mainstream media institutions work. And look, maybe it's only one or two of these figures, but people are going to look at this and say, look, if even if you have one person who's helping Wolf Blitzer and they're coordinating with the DNC, you know, people will suspect that there are other cases that it's not written down in emails where they're not foolish enough to write this down. Whether they just, you know, talk to them on the phone or meet for lunch or something like that and allow the Democrats to have a excessive influence in the tone and style of the coverage that they would never give to the Republicans. Another really embarrassing day for CNN. And probably, you know, like, I think there's going to be a need for a serious cleaning of house at CNN. They used to call themselves the most trusted name in news. And after the WikiLeaks, you know, can they really still call themselves that with a straight face?
Apparently, they're trusted by the DNC. But
there you go.
It's probably not what they meant. Yeah, the questions: who helped you write the foreign policy speech you're giving tomorrow? Which advisors specifically did you talk to? What advice did they give you? Other topics were Saudi Arabia's alleged involvement in 9/11, a preemptive strike against North Korea. That did come up a lot in the Republican presidential campaign, as I recall.
I mean, they're fair questions; they're not terrible questions. But at the same time, you know, my suspicion is the DNC thought that Trump had some, you know, asking him the advisor, we got him to give a name that would be some genuine scandal. And I don't know if that necessarily has come to pass. And so, but again, it's just almost impossible to imagine CNN emailing up, hey, Ryan, so you got any questions for Hillary? Right? I mean, just the thought of it makes you laugh. So, you know, the argument that the CNN covers the news with a thumb on the scale, that argument looks stronger after a revelation like this.
Jim, tomorrow, in case anyone forgot, which hopefully they didn't, is Election Day. And you and I will have our detailed predictions for the Electoral College, the Senate, and overall control of the House. We're 0-for-1, it's worth pointing out, because 4 years ago, we both predicted Mitt Romney would narrowly defeat Barack Obama. But I'm going on the record and saying we're not going to make that mistake again. Neither of us will be picking Mitt Romney to win this year.
The past 4 years have beaten the optimism out of us, Greg.
Mitt, you will not win tomorrow. That is my early prediction, but you got to stay tuned for the full thing on Tuesday. So, Jim, get sleep tonight. I got a feeling we're going to need it tomorrow.
Yay. See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today, and be sure to tune in again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.